Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas, along with Deuce McAllister, with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Of course, the Pelicans play tonight. They're at home in the Smoothie King Center against the Washington Wizards, and then they will get on a plane and fly to Landover, Maryland, and play Washington again on Sunday, right? Yeah, Sunday the 5th. I mean, it just seems crazy. And then they fly, come right back for more home games.
Well, you play the same team. It's almost like a series. Right. It's almost like a series concept. It's just the NBA. It's the NBA doing, I guess, what the NBA does.
Yeah, it's just so the Wizards are struggling as well. So this be kind of a neat two game set. They have their six wins. The Pelicans have played three more games than they have. Pels at 5-29, and so. But the weird thing is, I'm going to find it in my notes.
Which weird part?
I know.
The 6-5 wins, or the how many games that they've played more than some teams?
They've played three more than the Wizards. I think to me is that Eve Misi, right?
Yep.
And Alex Sarr were both NBA Rookies of the Month for December. They both play on 6-25 and 5-29 teams. Don't see that too often, I would think. But it's rookies. It's not everybody.
It's from a rookie standpoint, Misi has been a revelation. Even though you haven't won as much, you can say that his impact on the game, and I don't know if he completely answers your center issue that you had coming into it, but he definitely carves out some minutes. And what's the big man that Greg Monroe? I've got to give Greg Monroe, who is a Louisiana product, played numerous years in the league. He's a part of that staff this year. You've got to give Greg Monroe his props with the development of Misi, because I can't say it's all on Greg. You know, other coaches play it from a player development standpoint, have played a role. But you can see the impact of having a big man that has been there, done that, kind of work with this young man, because trust me, the Pelicans had high hopes for him, but they didn't have rookie of the month type of high hopes. We're not talking about a week. We're talking about consistent for the month.
For the month, he had 11.2 points per game, 10 rebounds per game.
That's a double-double.
That's a double-double and 1.6 steals.
As a rookie.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about a rookie that played 4 years at Baylor. You know,
right.
We're talking about a young man that is still learning the game of basketball.
He is 20.
Yeah.
20.
Yeah.
Like, he played, at Baylor for 1 year. And you're talking about this kid at 20. Everybody's a kid to me. You talk about a well-traveled young man.
To me as well. He's a kid.
So he's born in Belgium,
mm-hmm.
grows up in Cameroon,
mm-hmm.
goes to two different high schools. One is in Maryland. The other is in Napa, California. And then decides in the middle at Baylor for college. That's where he's been. He's 20.
And if he spent any long term, and we know he did, in Cameroon, it was the other football. It was soccer.
Soccer, right.
That was his first love.
Wow. So that's tonight. And then Sunday, Saints, of course, in Tampa for the final regular season game. Don't know if it is the final for both. If Tampa wins, they are in. They have everything to play for. And so, I mean, if you just, the numbers for the Buccaneers offense, they're just gaudy, right? I mean, they're top five and just about everything. And I talked to Coach Rizzi, I go, hey, this is why you play the game, man. I mean, if you just do the numbers, the Saints shouldn't even get on the plane. But this is why you play the game.
But I think, you know, for a lot of people and, you know, for your crowd that, hey, lose for draft picks, I don't think the Saints can improve.
Right. They lost last week to Las Vegas, stayed at 10.
And even if they lose, to my knowledge, there would have to be multiple teams ahead of you that would have to win to be able to, for you to even get to 9. There's no way for you to get to number 5.
Right. All of the changes are happening 1 through 7, right?
Correct.
You lose, or, man, you're flopping all over the place. But after 7, it's pretty solid.
That's what I'm saying.
Which is kind of strange for you to think about. This, it's been 2 weeks, right? Post-Green Bay, post-Vegas, 10.
No movement. So for me, from a player standpoint, man, I would love to go out on the right foot with a win. You know, with a win. No one wants to go into an offseason with a loss. And regardless, yes, you would probably help Atlanta get into the playoffs.
One of your hated teams is going in anyway.
Yeah,
it ain't you. Who cares?
That part. It's not you.
Right.
It's not you. So I'm trying to win a game. And this football team hadn't won a game, and it's been a couple weeks. And they are trying to win a football game. And you're going to be going against a team, I think, number 4. This would be their 4th consecutive.
Yes, it would be.
This would be their 4th consecutive NFC South championship. So if you could stop that, I think you would feel pretty good about yourselves.
No, I agree completely. I mean, again, one of your divisional opponents is going to win. I'd like to stop that parade of the division titles. Yes, the Falcons have to, but then they get a little bit of what Tampa has received the last 3 years and what the Saints received as they won all those division back-to-back as well. The number one schedule. And you saw it with Tampa. Man, they go to Detroit week 2, get a win.
Yeah.
Right? They beat Washington week 1, beat Detroit on the road week 2, beat Philly week 3, play us week 4. No, week 6. They played Atlanta week 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think. They could have easily been 5-0, right? I mean, on their start, because just the way things have worked out. But they lost in Atlanta in overtime. It was a crazy game. Anyway, they just But Baker is sometimes Baker. That's you have to maybe that. Hey, he'll have a clunker. Who knows?
Yeah, I figure he'll be on fire, though.
Yeah. Well, he's going to, and then probably the biggest difference in their run game. Now, we know Bucky Irving.
Yeah, we know Bucky Irving.
Right? We've seen him, right? Mm-hmm. He's got 1,000 yards.
He's a guy that can run it, and he's a guy that can catch it. And so, the one thing that he's probably done more than he's probably wanted to is put it on the ground. I mean, but he's a guy that you better be able to come up and tackle, and you better account for him in a passing game.
We kind of jumped into the Pelicans off the top. It has just been, as we all know, just such a challenging, tough time here in the city. We want to make sure that everybody understands that New Orleans is a caring community. We always have each other's backs. The victims of the terror attacks on Bourbon Street and their families always need our help. And please give what you can. It's the Greater New Orleans Foundation, New Orleans New Year's Day Tragedy Fund. Money's raised will assist the families of those lives who were taken and those who were seriously injured or impacted by this tragedy. You can donate by going to gnof.org, WWL Cares. I haven't seen you. I haven't talked to you. I mean, what was New Year's Day like for you? I mean, you probably found out early in the morning, right?
Yeah, saw it first thing in the morning, and obviously you get calls, you get texts, you know, you guys okay? Right. Same type of situation. It's just, you know, you're really in shock, and you're just trying to figure out, hey, you know, did I know anyone that was down there? You know, is everybody okay? And, you know, obviously it's tough. It's tough for the families, tough for the people that saw it, for the ones that obviously lost their lives, and you know, for us, even as a city, we've got a ton of festivals.
Yeah, it changes so many things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's not like the Sugar Bowl goes away and we just go back to normal. There is no new normal yet. There will be a new normal.
There's a new normal coming.
It ain't here yet.
Yeah, there's a new normal coming. I mean, because we, like you said, we've got parades. We've got parades coming up. You got obviously Super Bowl, you know, coming up, but you're going to have all kind of security for that. What will change with your parade? With your parade routes? Right. You know, what will change with how you handle some of that? And so it makes you question a lot of different things. But like you talked about, just being a resilient bunch and, you know, not letting evil win, that won't be the case here.
Nope. New Orleans does not, never will. It was a news cycle that I've not, and I've been around this industry a long time, a spinning news cycle that changed every hour and every 6 hours, every 5 hours, whatever. It was just, I'm sitting here right now going, it's January 3rd.
Yeah.
3rd. It's like, what? So, yeah, we hearts and prayers go out to everybody, as always, you know, just enormously tough times. We're going to take a break. Later in the show, we're going to have James Yarcho. He is Locked on the Bucks podcast at 5:20. We'll talk about the Tampa Bay game and how they are looking at this. Coming up after this, we're going to talk with LSU Tigers, the voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair. LSU defeated Baylor in the Texas Bowl, and, man, it's been – I mean, college football, you know, December is not supposed to be this busy in college football, but it has been with the transfer portal and getting guys signed and guys going to the NFL. We'll talk about that with Chris Blair when we come back. This is Fans in the Pro, Mike Oss, Deuce McAllister here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Mike Oss, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Pelicans tonight at 7 o'clock, 6:30 pregame show. Joining us now, the voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair. Chris, happy new year to you, and welcome to the show, as always, with Deuce and Oss.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Mike. Deuce, happy new year to you guys and everybody listening. And certainly we were all shaken by the episode, you know, late there on early New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, I should say. And again, you can tell the outpouring of people around the country. Certainly those of us here in the state of Louisiana, our heartfelt condolences to the victims. And again, to this grand old city that will, without question, come back bigger and better than ever.
No, you're right. And as you well know, it goes beyond parish lines. It goes beyond regional lines. It's a Gulf Coast. It's Louisiana. It's all in this together.
Yeah. I mean, I really, you know, I've been in the state now 9 years, and, I'd be lying if I didn't say, I mean, New Orleans, I live in Baton Rouge, spend most of my time here, but New Orleans is our host city. And I think everybody in the state, and as you said, the entire Gulf Coast sees it that way.
So we're going to talk a little basketball, but I want to put a little bow, if we can, on the LSU football season, beat Baylor and the Texas Bowl. And as I was tossing the break, I was talking about just how crazy college football is in December. Right? You lose a couple of guys, transfer from a wide receiver room, then you just go out and get a couple. I mean, it's staggering.
Yeah, it's year-round free agency, you know, in the college ranks, which, you know, you guys well know there's a reason there's some rules put in place at the pro level, but not quite there yet at the college level. And, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, we're going to start to see some of this change. We'll start to see some nuance and subtlety change to this stuff. I think coaches have a very strong argument that the first portal window opens while teams are preparing for either a college football playoff or a bowl game. And again, they're taking transfers as well as losing transfers, yet somehow the transfers that come in can't play in the bowl game. And I just don't think that's fair for programs, coaches, and frankly, the players. But, you know, we'll see what changes down the road. Obviously, after the Sugar Bowl yesterday afternoon, now there's already talk about, and even started before that, I should say, to change the format of the 12-team playoff. So it's constantly in flux. And as my first athletic director who hired me many moons ago told me, get ready, never a dull moment. And he couldn't be more accurate.
And, Chris, really just to follow up on Mike before we go to basketball is just all of the movement, the different parts of the college football cycle and, you know, a couple years, hey, you know, 12 is not enough. We need to add a few more teams, and then we need to reseed and maybe not even automatic bids. You know, just where do we see it stopping or where do we see it going?
You know, it's interesting. I've heard people throw ideas, Deuce, about, you know, maybe don't need conference championship games. I mean, typically most feel like the two teams that are going to play in the SEC championship, for example, have a very good shot of being into the college football playoffs. So maybe you take those teams who are on the cusp, which again takes away from, you know, what are we doing here? You know, I don't know that that's going to get very far. But, you know, you had the best four teams who had to sit around for several weeks, and that was another argument that was brought up. While the teams who were lower seeded got to play a home game, they got the benefit of playing at home, while the top four teams did not. So, you know, I had a suspicion, and I've been a big proponent of it had to be more than four teams. I mean, I came up, cut my teeth in FCS football, so somehow many years ago, they were able to figure out how to put 16 in, and now they've got even more. So I think it's doable, and I think that, you know, until we probably won't be able to get this right in the first year, two, three, or five. It may need some tweaks, and it's obvious there's a lot of the constituents right now who want to see some changes, and they want to see them as soon as next year.
As we shift to basketball, you know, it's always going to be intriguing with football just because there are so many moving parts from the portal and the early signing period. Now, you know, that was something that we had, and now I don't know if you really want to do it because you're bringing guys, as you sign high school kids, you're bringing in portal kids because that window is open. So it'll be intriguing to see what happens. But as we shift to basketball season, you know, particularly LSU girls as well as guys, the girls off to a fantastic start. What do you see so far from this team with the LSU Lady Tigers?
You know, I'll say this, Deuce, as well. When you look at how the transfer portal is impacting college football, I will say, and again, there's a lot of reasons why, simply because there's fewer players, there's fewer limits on rosters in football than in basketball. But I think the basketball coaches, while they still are not pleased at the way you know, the system works, and many of them, as we have seen over the last couple of years, have decided, you know, I got into this to develop teams over a period of time. And those days are gone. You're building a roster every single year. You're not building a program. But I think college basketball, or at least the top level, have kind of got a good handle on it. I mean, it's just part of what college basketball is now. I mean, guys are moving and going and this way and that way. And I think basketball, again, because there's fewer players involved, have kind of figured this out. So it's not as big a conversation. And when you look around the SEC, which their non-conference record this year is almost laughable, the way they have dominated out of conference. I mean, this is an SEC that, you know, Greg Sankey takes a lot of heat for decisions, but I'll give him this. You know, they made a concerted effort 10 years ago or more that SEC basketball needed to take a step forward. And over that decade or so, we have seen facilities. We have seen, you know, the top coaches in the game are now coaching in the SEC. And you're seeing the top players. And I think this is the result. And LSU, of course, benefits from that. And I think Coach Matt McMahon has done a very good job in understanding how to work the portal, how to handle NIL, and how to still try to build a team. And, you know, you look at the team this year, right now, there is not a single starter in the lineup that was on the team a year ago. And when we started the season, only Jalen Reed was the lone returner in the starting lineup. And again, they've been able to play extremely well as if they played for a number of years together. And we're talking about guys who had never played together until they arrived on campus, you know, this past summer. So I think Matt's done a good job. His staff's done a good job. And SEC basketball is golly. I mean, I grew up on SEC basketball, Eastern Kentucky boy. So it was Kentucky Wildcats right out of the womb. And there's always been great SEC basketball, but it usually was a lot more top heavy. You had your top teams from year to year, and then it kind of went down as you got down the ranks. It's not the case this year. I mean, there's no gimme. I mean, Vanderbilt coming in tomorrow is an extremely good team at 12-1. They got about a $4 or $5 million payroll, and they've built a very impressive roster. They didn't just go get guys; they went and got some dudes. So it's going to be a challenge, but I think Matt McMahon, you know, one goal, gentlemen, was to play better November and December. And they were certainly able to do that with just two losses. Last year they went 8-5. They went 9-9 in the league. Had they gone 12-2, you know, in non-conference last year, they would have been dancing. So they put themselves in a position. And now the competition is going to get ratcheted up quite a bit. And it starts tomorrow at 3:30 with a very good Vandy team, much like their football team. Not your daddy's Vandy and not your brother's Vandy. This is a whole new Vanderbilt team.
Hey, Chris, I'm curious, as you're looking at opponents, right? You just mentioned it as like off kind of just normal, like $4 to $5 million payroll. I mean, that's kind of when you're looking at teams now, you're looking like that's a stat.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of what we discuss now. I mean, we're not all that different from our buddy Todd Graff. I mean, you're talking about this guy played last year at this school, and, you know, he's part of a payroll that was $2 or $3 million, $4 million, $5 million, whatever the case may be. And we all saw what happened in the offseason in Arkansas with John Calipari, which, by the way, I've seen him in red, and it just still doesn't register for me. But, you know, they were excited about him coming up there, and the main conversation was, we've hired John Calipari, and we're handing him a treasure chest to go get NIL and go get a roster. So, I mean, that's the world we live in now. It's not any different than discussing, and I think we're going to get there more and more, where we're discussing what guys' contracts are when they show up on campus. We're not that far away from that.
What is special? What impresses you most? Off to 1-3 straight, 11-2. Again, it's non-conference, but tell me about what you like best about this LSU men's basketball team.
It jumps off the court, and it's their dedication to playing defense. And not just playing defense, but when their shots are not falling. I mean, I grew up in the backyard playing basketball any, you know, moment I was allowed to. And I wasn't out there practicing defense, and I don't think any of us were. We were practicing threes and free throws and maybe even lower the goal to try to dunk, some of us, I've told. But at the end of the day, you got to want to play defense. And sometimes in this day and age, you'll see defense start to wane when the offense is not coming. You know, you get guys who are frustrated. They've got an open look and they miss two or three in a row. And then suddenly they're not as locked in defensively. I haven't seen that from this group. Now, they have truly bought into, we're going to be playing some teams in the SEC with some guys who are going to make some serious money in the NBA. So you got to play defense. If you don't, you're not going to be down by three at halftime. You're going to be down by 23. And what I've liked is that there's been games where LSU's offense, you know, they haven't hit shots. They went 2 of 15 from three in the first half, yet they're still playing defense. And that's how they've been able to overcome some small deficits. And then once the shots start to fall, they've been able to pull away, even in non-conference games. And, you know, John Brady says it all the time, and I've heard it from all kinds of coaches. If you have defense, that characteristic will travel, and that characteristic will give you a chance in games that maybe you're not supposed to be in. There's one thing about this SEC. You know, Kentucky's a team that I keep an eye on quite a bit. Well, they can play with anybody, and they can blow anybody out of the gym. They also are very inconsistent when they shoot threes. And if they're on, look out. If they're off, they're beatable. And again, it goes to, on paper, Kentucky should be favored over LSU, but not if you play defense. And I like the fact that these guys are dedicated to doing it. And when it starts with Cam Carter, starts with Jordan Sears, and especially with Jai Bailey, the backcourt for LSU is dedicated to getting down, playing defense with their feet. They've done a good job of not sending opponents to the foul line, which means you're playing good defense without fouling. And to me, yeah, it's great when they hit a bunch of threes. It's great when they get out in transition. Corey Chest is able to bend the rim. But I think their best characteristic is their willingness and commitment to playing defense. That will serve them well, and it will serve them well starting tomorrow because Vanderbilt's like the second or third fastest team in the country, and they average 86 points a game. So you're going to lean a little defense to try to get your first conference win at home.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. Like you talked about, the SEC is very, very deep, and there was concerted effort to say we're just not a football conference. The SEC can be known for basketball, and it's going to be interesting to see how many the league does get into the tournament, because when you look at, you know, the out-of-conference record or the showing in some of those shootouts, it was very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've seen the last couple of years, you know, with the SEC get eight teams in. Could they get nine teams in? You know, at one time last year down the stretch, they were talking about could they get 10 teams in? Unless something completely falls apart, I mean, I think the SEC is looking towards possibly a record number of teams getting into the dance. And I think they've solidified that after this non-conference record. And, you know, again, each team has played a different level of competition in those non-conference games. But some of the upper echelon this year of the SEC, the Auburns, the Alabamas, obviously the Kentuckys, and even the Arkansas, the Tennessees, I mean, they've played some really good non-conference, big-time marquee matchups, and they've done very well. So I think that's going to – I think even when we get to March and the committee sits down, they're going to kind of drift back to November and December and look at what all of these teams have done. And should be an exciting season. You know, again, LSU went 9-9 last year. Probably would have got them in the league if they hadn't stumped their toe on a couple of non-conference games. So they've also been undefeated at home. Hopefully that trend continues tomorrow against Vandy.
Well, as always, sir, we appreciate your time. There's no transition from basketball and football. They all blend together. And so we love the insight. Have a great college season basketball-wise, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Mike. All the free time in the world. Just finished up power washing. I got all kinds of things I got to get done before tomorrow.
I understand. I'm with you right there. Chris Blair, thank you, my friend. Take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Fans and the Pro with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Back after this here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Fans and the Pro. Again, the investigation into that deadly terror attack on Bourbon Street continues. The FBI received more than 400 tips. They still need your help if you encountered him, Shamsuddin Jabbar, anywhere, or if you know him in any way. The FBI wants to just talk to you. So please call 1-800-CALL-FBI, 1-800-CALL-FBI. I will say that as we're in the studio, they've brought in somebody, some young whippersnapper, to fix the television so Deuce and I could have some TV on. We couldn't work any televisions with any remotes in any capacity last week for the show. And
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
Oh. Yeah, what was last week?
No, I was in. I was in California. Yeah. So Mike, when we come in and we see the TVs are on, you know, they got the what is this? The Duke Mayo.
No, that's the Surf Pro. The First Responders.
First
Bowl.
Surf Pro First Responder. I thought that was the Duke Mayo Bowl, but when I see that game on, and you know, right now I think Texas State is down. Yes, 14-6. Well, Texas State is up.
Yeah, against North Texas. And I need Texas to win. It's a big one for me.
In my pool. Okay. I was about to say you like 6-6 versus 7-5. That was another story. But one of the first things, not just that the TVs were on, I was like, Mike, look, they got the channels and the names. Yeah. And they were like, oh, those two old guys, they don't even know how to work a remote control. So they wanted us to feel better that not only did they put the name on it, they put the actual channel
right. In case it gets knocked out, here's what you do. Well, they need to get rid of about 10 remotes in here.
Make one universal remote.
There you go.
Hit twice. Hit once. Nah, that may be too much when you hit twice and once. And just give me – keep it simple. Keep it simple.
That's right, baby. Kiss. We want to thank everyone for listening on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line. That's 504-260-1870. Give us a call. Let's join now Philip and Natchez. Philip, welcome to Fans in the Pro. You're on with Mike and Deuce.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Same to you, sir.
All right. Deuce, I want to give you props. Last Sunday, the Saints game on that trick play, the pass back to Allen, a touchdown. You call that trick play, right?
Philip, there's an old saying that a broken clock is right twice a day. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Deuce, I was listening. You know, I had my headphones on, and I said, well, Deuce called. I told my friend, man, Deuce called this place.
You know? Nostradamus, that's what we call him. He's just being humble. He does it all the time.
That was right on, you know.
Yeah, no, Philip, you sometimes get a feel, and it's just like coaching. It's just like even from playing, once you've seen it and you've been in that moment, you kind of just get a feel for it, and I don't want to say you see stuff, but you see stuff. You see it.
Right.
The moment is right for it, and the opportunity works. And so, you know, sometimes just based off of formations, based off of tendencies from other teams, from players, all of that goes into it, and, you know, it just works out.
And Deuce, again, like you say, I had my headphones on, even in the dome, listening to you. And this ain't the first time, like you said. You predicted, like you said, I guess, you know, based upon the formation and, like you said, tendencies. But it was just, like I say, it just brought a smile on my face when you said that, and they called it. I looked at my friend and I said, man, Deuce called that play. but you great at that. I mean, I give you your props, man.
Well, I appreciate it, Mr. Phillip. I've been tremendously blessed. I'll put it that way.
That's awesome. And I can't remember who you said we stole the play. Who's playing? Tiki Barber?
Tiki Barber.
Yeah.
Tiki Barber. We ran this play back. I mean, that play goes back to where I first saw it. It's probably been around since Bobby was playing. That's how far.
What's the name? What's it called?
Different coaches. Yeah. You know, different coaches have different names for it, or how they want to label it. I mean, and that's the thing on getting everybody on the same page. Each team probably, and here's where it gets interesting. Let's just take the hottest OC out right now, Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson probably has 4 to 5 trick plays per week that he carries. One, you do it because you want it to be successful. that's the first and foremost.
Please put that at the top.
Yeah, you want it to be successful. But the other reason that you put some stuff in there, I want to keep my guys engaged. How can I keep my guys engaged? How can I keep it fun for them to where they know that if we get in this area, if we get here, we're going to run this. We're going to run tackle over. We're going to run tackle over. What's tackle over? All right, we're going to run tackle over. It'll be where my right tackle is. Normally, instead of him lining up at right tackle, he's going to line up at left tackle. And then when we do that, we're going to send another offensive lineman in, and now the guy that's normally blocking, let's just say for us, Trevor Penning, he would line up at left tackle, but now we're going to send another offensive lineman in, my mind is going blank here. I can see the number, but
Ugo? Udo?
Well, we can send Ugo in. Ugo is going to come in as the extra tight end. It's right. Landon Young. Landon Young comes in as the extra tight end. Now Landon Young is not going to say he's eligible. Landon is going to be ineligible. The eligible guy is going to be Trevor Penning. You're doing all of this to not necessarily to trick the defense, but to see if the defense is paying attention. So now I've went tackle over. Trevor Penning is going to line up on the left side where he's traditionally the right side. He's going to be off the ball. Trevor Penning, I want you to block down just like you're blocking the defensive end, and then you're going to leak out into the flat, and we're going to throw you the football. You're like, wait, I get to catch the ball? Yes, you've done an outstanding job at blocking, and you can't drop the ball. You've got to catch it. You're going to be eligible, so you've got to line up the right way, and you've got to be able to do this. We've got to still do this in 30 seconds or less, you know, 45 seconds, but really 30 seconds or less, because the defense, they're going to see it. First of all, they're going to see, oh, well, they've got an extra lineman in, but they didn't call him eligible. So where is he going to line up? Now I have a tackle over, so now the eyes of the defender should – perk up fast as all get out. But if you sell it, then it's a little bit different. Well, the only way you can really sell it, you have to have success running the football.
Ah,
if you're not running the football,
you buried the lead.
All of that is for naught. I mean, because all you're doing is giving it away. Hey, I got to tackle over, but we hadn't ran the football really well. So now that my starting right tackle is at the left tackle position or left really tight end in the wing, you're going to know he's over there for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I do pay a little attention on defense, and so it's all kinds of tricks and different plays and different things that you can do, and I enjoy it, though. I mean, like I said, I've been tremendously blessed to be around some really, really good teachers, and just to be able to see it and, you know, hopefully tell it, and when it happens, it's great.
It is. I hope you get to do it a lot on Sunday as well. Take a break. Fans in a Pro, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. Back after this on WWL. Stay with us. Welcome back, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Fans and the Pro. Thanks to the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our sports talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine in or delivery. The best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, salads, and more. MagazinePizza.com. Deuce and I'll be back for the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk more Saints and Buccaneers, but the news is coming up next. Keep it right here on WWL for Fans and the Pro, WWLAMF.com, and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, everyone, for the 5 o'clock hour with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Deuce McAllister and Mike Hoss talking, ready to get for the Pelicans tonight, talking Saints and Buccaneers. Well, about 5:20 tonight, we'll have James Yarcho with Locked on the Bucs podcast. That's at 5:20. Of course, the Buccaneers win, and they take the NFC South. For the Saints, no Derek Carr, no Alvin, as expected. Kendre Miller, concussion protocol, he's not going to play. Really, the only one out there would be Olave. And I just can't imagine – I'm not saying it wouldn't – if he would play, I can kind of see
– I would be surprised if he played.
Right. I'm like, what if he got another concussion? What would be the point of him playing other than – I want to get him out there and so he could kind of go into the offseason without having that as kind of tagging on behind him. But I see no reason.
I think if that's what you're worried about, that's why you had him practice in the last 3 weeks.
To see where he was.
Well, just to let him be able to run around
right. And
see how you feel after, you know, getting up the next day. But for him to go out there and play, there's no reason.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, and that's the thing, and I wanted to pull this up. We have talked a lot about the Saints offensive line and the injuries that they've had. IR, you start the offseason with Ryan Ramczyk,
right. Kind
of undecided. So I was like, I'm curious, you know, how much of an aberration is the Saints? And this is just one example. But you look at Tampa, their offensive line, Tristan Wirfs. Missed one game this year. One.
All pro left tackle.
Right. Ben Bredesen, the left guard, started all 16. He missed a game. Graham Barton, the rookie out of Duke, their first round pick, he missed week 6.
Against the Saints.
Other than that, 15 starts. Right tackle, Cody Mauch, 16 starts. He missed a game. Luke Getteke has missed 4 games. That's the most of their offensive line. That's it. When you keep your starting five intact, man.
And trust me, it's a lot easier to replace one than it is to replace three or even two offensive linemen.
And because that was the situation, right?
But now you get to shuffling guys, trying to move guys around. Hey, you know, well, this guy's a better center. Well, this guy's a better such and such. Now we've got to move this player around. And if we don't have to move this player, maybe we can be okay with this guy in. But now this one is going to struggle with XYZ, and it's tough. It's tough when you say, okay, and we're going to run an offense. You still have to run an offense. And, oh, hey, we'll take your starting receiver away. We'll take your number two receiver away, and it will eventually take one of your starting tight ends away.
Right.
And go play.
Well, and I think part of the thing for me – has been, you know, the season is long over time. You have to kind of go back and go, well, wait, you know, Rashid Shaheed, week 6 was his last game. Paulson Adebo, week 7. It's not like it's been the last 3 or 4 weeks. You've been without some of these guys. Taysom Hill, you know, all of these guys have been out. Olave, Shaheed, Adebo, Taysom, for a long time. In the offensive line, IR finally for a couple of them, but they were out, you know, different guys, two and four.
You lose one for 7 weeks.
Right. And so it's not. I do believe that the Saints are a bit of an aberration. Now, I'm not looking at all the teams, but I can probably – you can look at probably the teams that have struggled, you know, either, well, not, either they've struggled or they've had some problems like the Saints.
Here's one. Here's one, and they are in the playoffs. The Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles Rams, and we know personally – their offensive line coach, the assistant as well, just talking to them, and they were in a fire sale mode.
Yep.
A week or two before coming to New Orleans, they were trying to trade Cooper Kupp because of the salary. There were talks of Matthew Stafford being traded as well to say, hey, let's just reset this whole deal. Next thing you know, their offensive line, who had been hurt, you had one that was suspended. They get those guys back. They win a game. Well, okay, right, we win one game. All right, yeah. We're still listening to offers for Cooper Kupp, and potentially if it's a granddaddy offer, we will trade Matthew Stafford as well. The following week, we win another game. You start looking at their division, it's like, wait.
That's what I was going to say.
Wait. Arizona, you're leading?
Right.
And you only have us by two games? And we just won two games back-to-back, and we haven't even played you guys. I don't know if they had played or not, but, you know, let's just say they had one more game with them. All of a sudden, they catch fire, and they start believing. They start doing something that they had not did all year against us, running the football. They had struggled immensely running the football. They go from a wide zone team to downhill team, and then they're able to mix both of them in there, and so now they can be a wide zone, a downhill, and it's like, who are these guys? And you start to see, Cooper's back healthy, and Puka Nacua, he's healthy as well. He's been banged up, but he's healthy as well. They went 9 of 10 games.
Yep.
9 of 10, and they were, I mean, you can go look it up. They were multiple players.
Right.
On the market as far as to be traded.
No, I agree. I think you're right. I think part of that is, like you say, is like, wait, we won two games. We're back in this. Don't take that call.
Don't take the call. Yeah, tell them unless it's multiple first rounders, we're not interested anymore.
Right. And then they win the division. So, all right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk with James Yarchow with the Locked On Bucks podcast, get things from how they are down in Tampa, waiting for the Saints to come in on Sunday afternoon. Win and you are in. They'll be the fourth seed, and they'll host somebody like Detroit or Minnesota, something like that, some 14-13-win team. Back after this on Fans in the Pro here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Pelicans at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6:30, all right here on the Big 870 WWL, joined now by James Yarchow with the Locked On Bucks podcast as the Saints travel to Tampa on Sunday. Win and you are in for the Buccaneers. They're playing great football. James, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So give me, I mean, what's the feeling down there? Is it's kind of quiet overconfidence, or... I mean, you got the Saints and Spencer Rattler coming to town. You guys 14 touchdowns for Mayfield in his last four games. I mean, the Buccaneers are hot at the right time.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't say it's overconfidence, but there is a confidence that the Bucs are going to be able to do this. And honestly, there's been confidence since the bye week, and they had struggled going into the bye, given some of the opponents that they had to face, some of the heartbreaking losses. But, Bucs fans knew coming out of that bye that they faced one team that was above 500 in their final seven games. They needed a little bit of help. They got it, whether it was because other teams stepped up or the Falcons tripped all over themselves. But Bucks fans knew they needed 6 out of 7 in their last 7 games to be in this position. And so far they've gotten 5 out of 6. And I feel like, you know, there's quite a bit of confidence that they're going to be able to get the job done against a Saints team that's, you know, kind of searching for an identity, right? You know, they have Spencer Rattler there at quarterback. I'm not sure if they feel like he's the future. Alvin Kamara probably isn't going to play. You know, there's a lot of questions around a team that is going to be, you know, probably looking to the other sideline at a potential head coach for next year.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know if it's for an identity. I think they just, you know, you're looking for some offense. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for some offense and some consistency, just because you're without wide receiver 1, 2, and more than likely you're starting tailback. And so this Saints team, they've played hard. But it's been penalties and mistakes. That is what's hurt them, you know, particularly over the last month or so when you talk about some of the games that they've been in. But I'm intrigued in what you overall think about that team as far as the Saints and, you know, just the going up against a team that basically knows it if they win, they're in.
Yeah, I don't think, and I've been saying it all week on Locked On Bucks, I do not think that this Saints team is going to just come in and lay down for the Buccaneers. Yeah, there's a lot of pride on that side. There are a lot of guys auditioning for whoever the next head coach is. You know, there's a lot of people that have carried over from the Drew Brees era, and they see the Bucks with an opportunity to tie the Saints record for most consecutive NFC South titles. They see Mike Evans over there looking for his 11th straight 1,000-yard season, and they want to be the ones to say, no, you're not getting the record this time. You're not tying Jerry Rice. You're not getting your 1,000 yards against us. So there's going to be a lot of pride there, and they're going to come out there, and they want to play spoiler no matter what the, you know, who gets in because of it. So it's far from an easy matchup. Divisional matchups are always difficult, but, you know, the Saints are going to come in and really give the Bucs a fight whether Tampa wants it or not.
What's the talk about Mike Evans this week down there? I don't know how much he's been played in Tampa, the situation with the 85 yards to his 11th season of 1,000 and 5 receptions to get 70, and then it also would trigger a $3 million bonus. How much play is that getting down there?
It means everything to Baker to get Mike Evans that 1,000-yard mark. You know, he would extend his own NFL record for consecutive seasons to start a career, but then, of course, tie Jerry Rice's all-time record for consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, and it means a lot. But at the same time, you know, Mike is the kind of player that would trade that streak for a win and a division crown and a chance to go to the postseason, and these guys know that the game comes first. And if they go out and they play their game and they establish the run with Bucky Irving and they're doing what they've done for the better part of the last 2 months, that 85 yards is going to come. But I think when you take a look at the significance of what that record means, not just to Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield, but to the franchise, to the fans, you know, who have repeatedly year after year after year talked about how Mike Evans is one of the most overlooked wide receivers in the NFL and people still not believing that he's a Hall of Famer, it does mean a lot, but I don't think they're going to sacrifice the opportunity to win a game just to force Mike Evans the football.
James, I got to ask you on the other side of the ball, you know, one of the guys that, you know, if you aren't concerned with him, you better be on that defensive front, Vita Vey, just how well he's been playing or, you know, some of the things that he can cause as far as problems for any other team.
Yeah, Vita Vea is he's so much fun to watch when you're not the team facing him, because he's just a bulldozer, and he is going to fight through everything to be able to disrupt the backfield. And the best thing I think about Vita Vea is that he may not show up on the stat sheet the way you would expect a player of his caliber to. But what he does is he opens up so many things for guys like Kalijah Kansi or Yaya Diaby or Levante David or Antoine Winfield Jr., because he takes so much attention and so much manpower to be able to stop that these other guys are able to get one-on-one or absolutely untouched opportunities to get into the backfield and get after a quarterback or to hit a running back for a loss. So Vita is, he's the anchor. He is what drives this defense as that guy in the trenches that eats up two and three blockers at a time and still can manage to get a sack with one arm when you have multiple guys draped over him. He's probably one of the most incredible players to watch play in and play out just because of everything that he is able to do and all of the attention that he garners.
I wanted to ask you, like, week six, Bucky Irving, rookie out of Oregon, fourth rounder, has 14 carries, 81 yards. Now, the big guy that day was Sean Tucker, his career high. But when did you guys down there kind of know what you had in Irving? So he's got over 1,000 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. When did you know?
It was pretty early on. Knowing what he was capable of, yet he's Pro Football Focus's most elusive running back in the NFL this year. Very rarely does the first guy actually bring him down. And it wasn't until he started getting more opportunities that he was really able to explode the way that he has. You know, you still have Rashad White, who is a really, really good running back, but Bucky has just been able to take it to another level. You know, Rashad's a little bit bigger. He's not quite as fast. He's a little bit stronger. And Bucky's been that elusive guy. And so as he's continued to progress, of course, Liam Cohen has gotten him more and more involved in the offense. So that's when he's been able to get, you know, 16 or 18 carries, and he's been able to rip off 150-yard games. And you know, they've realized that the more opportunities he has, the better he gets. He's one of those guys, you know, that just gets better as the game progresses, whether that's because he gets a better feel for the game and he's a little bit more adept to the flow, or it's because the defenses are wearing down later in games. But Bucky Irving is a guy ever since training camp that really, you know, the Bucs knew they had someone special to join Rashad in the backfield. And you kind of feel a little bit for Rashad losing kind of his running back one status. But as a duo, they're one of the best duos in the NFL. And a lot of that has to do with how elusive and how quick Bucky Irving is. And then when you can throw it, the power of Rashad at defenses, it really works out well for the Bucs. And this is a team that was one of the worst in the NFL the last couple of years in running the football. And the addition of Bucky Irving has skyrocketed them into the top five.
I wanted to ask you how prepared or what, you know, Dave Canales last year, Liam Cohen this year, you know, these hot, you know, coordinators always, and with the offense that you guys have put up this year, do they feel like they're kind of in that same situation where they could lose Liam again, like Canales?
100%. Yeah, and Liam talked about it earlier this week that it's been his dream to become an NFL head coach. Right now, of course, he's focused on the Saints this week and trying to get this team to the postseason and then figure out what happens after that. But you know, there's only 32 of those jobs, and if you're in this business, if you're in this industry, that is a dream, and you want to get there however you can. Dave Canales, you know, me personally, I thought it was a little too early and not a great situation. And Dave has proved me wrong. What he's done with Bryce Young there in Carolina from the beginning of the season to where they are right now, you know, Bryce Young is going to be a really difficult quarterback to deal with in the NFC South for, you know, years to come. And he's really done a fantastic job. So I fully expect Liam Cohen to be getting calls from teams like the New Orleans Saints, like the Chicago Bears, the New York Jets. He's going to have an opportunity. Now, whether or not he decides to take that opportunity or he pulls a Ben Johnson and wants to stay in Tampa and he knows that at some point Todd Bowles is probably going to move on. You know, Todd has talked about retirement for a couple of years now, that he feels like he's getting to the end of his football journey. Getting to stick with Baker and this offense that he's built in Tampa might be a little bit more intriguing. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But you, a guy like Liam Cohen, who has, you know, worked with Sean McVay, worked with Todd Bowles, and has done some really impressive things in the NFL, he's going to make one heck of an NFL head coach.
Well, James, we appreciate your time. We look forward to the game on Sunday and see how things shake out. James Yard Show with the Locked On Bucks podcast. Appreciate your time again.
I thank you guys so much. I appreciate you.
You bet. Noon on Sunday in Tampa. Tampa actually has a worse home record than they have on the road. And so they've see how that plays out. And so you see it all the time. And, you know, and the Saints are going to be in this basket here, right? You try to go out and
that mentality.
Right. Or you get somebody, you know, guess what? Everybody wants Vrabel.
Right.
You know, you're not the only team out there. Or if you wait and then try to figure out, you know, is it the hot coordinator? Do you have your eye on somebody? I mean, you don't want to wait too long, right? There's not the only opening.
And then when you look at it, you know, from a coordinator standpoint, particularly from a team standpoint, hey, do I want to coach with head coaching experience? Or do I want a coordinator that's first-year coordinator? I mean, first-year head coach, whether he's offense or defense. And even special teams, you know, this would be his first opportunity as a head coach. And so I think that all comes into play. Really, for me, it depends on the roster of that squad, what I for sure have coming back and what I potentially have coming back. And then, you know, every coach, you can get upset with the recycled coach theme. You know, some people want to blow everything up, blow it all up. You know, give me new colors if you can. I don't want you to wear black and gold anymore. Give me a whole new color. You know, just give me everything is new. You know, let's start with the training staff. Let's start with the cafeteria. I want it all blown up. That's the theory that some people have. I'm serious.
I know.
I mean,
if people are just listening in. Deuce is just, you know, yeah, he's being sarcastic.
I am being sarcastic, but some fans
truly. I do 100%.
Yeah, and so, you know, hey, I want a new voice from the front secretary that answers the phone to I want everything gone. And some are like, well, no, I just want all of Sean's people gone. You know, upstairs, if he worked with Sean, he doesn't need to be there. If he was equipment manager with Sean, he doesn't need to be there. And that's what some people believe. And then some want to say, let's just give a special teams coach. Let's just say, hey, it's Rizzy. And Rizzy, you get to pick whatever coaches you want. You are not saddled with any coaches. So if you want to bring in, and this is, I'm being facetious or joking. If you want to bring in all guys from New Jersey, bring them in. You know, that. But there's no, I don't know if there's a middle ground. I don't know if there's a middle ground for, and I don't want to call it fans, we'll just say individuals. Like, what will make you happy? If this team goes forward, what will make you happy? And I don't have the answer for that. Today I don't. Maybe in 2 weeks I'll have it.
I don't know that the coach, if the coaching hire alone would suffice just in January and February. Maybe. I don't know who that guy would be. You know, who's the guy that if you just hired a coach today, you had a guy, who your guy.
Okay.
And so for the black and gold faithful out there, would that be enough, depending on who that guy is, to go, okay, I'm back on? I don't know. I mean, who's other than Vrabel, who out there? You know, Ron Rivera, I saw was getting,
yeah, Ron,
he's the guy you're talking about.
He's interviewing for, I think, the Jets, maybe?
Yeah, Jets.
Vrabel just talked to the Jets. You know, Mike McCarthy, I think his contract ends because he didn't get an extension, ends probably next week or in 2 weeks or whatever it is. So, you know, a guy like that. But let's just say, hey, Ryan Day, the Ohio State coach, wants to come to the NFL. Would he make fans happy? Would fans get excited for that?
I don't know.
That's... Or would it take him bringing three players from Ohio State with him or drafting him, you know, drafting those players? I mean, because you still have free agency to go through. You still have to get cap compliant.
$70 million, something like that. Over right now,
whatever it is.
It's better than it has.
It's been 100.
We've been in worse situations.
It's been 100. Right. It's been 85 or whatever.
Good
it is what it is. You got to get cap compliant.
Yeah. by the beginning of the season, March something.
Yeah, first of the March or whatever that date is, you got to get cap compliant. And guess what? The NFL doesn't care if you don't have a head coach then or not. You have to, whoever is the head coach, they have to still get cap compliant.
And total, just, you know, is this something that happens quickly, or are we going to be beginning of February, middle of February?
Without a coach?
Right.
I highly doubt it.
Quickly, or do you think it'll be like most of the time it's February.
What do you call it? Because you can't
talk to some people to, you know, officially.
And the Super Bowl is
February 9th.
Yeah, but there's some windows in there that they've given some coaches and you know, some people. Yes, that is correct. I would be surprised if the New Orleans Saints don't have a coach by the Super Bowl. I would be surprised. Would you?
I don't know, because I don't – it's hard to – I mean, I don't know if they're going after hard on somebody like a Vrabel that's got all this interest from other teams, or is there a college coach? Or are you – do you have your eyes on Liam
– bowl games are still going now, so
– yeah. Do you have your eyes on a Liam Cohen or the hot – because right now the hot – he's not – you know, there's going to be a guy – as we move through the playoffs on somebody's team, that's going to be that guy, you know. But then
I'm not going to fall in love just because he got hot during the playoffs.
Right.
That's not going to be the reason I hired that coach. If it is, something's wrong with you, because what did he do the other 17 weeks that you all of a sudden said, oh, yeah, that's really why I like him. He made the adjustment in the NFC Championship game, and that's why I want to hire him. If that's the case, ooh-wee.
So that's why I don't have a feel for what direction from a college. You can talk to college guys.
Here's where it goes for me if you continue to wait. Now, we just talked about cap compliant, correct?
Right.
So if you are waiting until after the Super Bowl, which is February the 9th, you have to be compliant by March 1st, whatever that date is. You've got about a three-week window. Now, all of these cap guys that they want to fire and GMs, assistant GMs, and all of these people that you want to fire as well, that information is already there. So if you fire them, you're going to be bringing somebody else in to kind of do some of that information for you, and because there's a method to be able to get under 70, and then you're not just going to stop at 70 because you still have to sign.
Right. You want to sign to people,
free agents, as well as draft picks. So it's not going to be, hey, we're cap compliant. You got to do more than that. But if we go and fire even the mail guy and the security guy at Airline Highway, what are you doing?
Right. Take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. This is Fans in a Pro. I want to thank Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. They fed the NOPD District 1 and District 8 today, both one in the French Quarter and just outside the French Quarter. New Orleanians helping New Orleanians. Back after this on WLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Pelicans tonight against the Wizards at 7 o'clock. The pregame at 6:30. Saints and the Buccaneers, of course, on Sunday. So I was just curious, as we, you know, getting towards the end of the season, MVP and all these kind of things. Saquon Barkley, 2,000 yards, had a chance. Probably won't play in the final week. Totally get it. I'm kind of curious as to where you are on these single season records when it's not apples to apples. If it's an older record with 14 or 16 or 17, like, did you feel Saquon Barkley, if he had played, was he legitimately breaking Dickerson's record?
Yes.
Based on why?
Running the football. And it's just based on the amount of carries. I get the games.
Right.
I do get the game theory, and that's probably not fair. But when Dickerson broke the record, he played in one more game then and now I'm going dead. I can't remember who had it before Dickerson had it, but Dickerson played in one more
OJ
game.
Was it?
It may have been OJ. It may have been OJ. We've got to look it up, but Dickerson played in one more game than that running back, and so now with Saquon and for me, I get it. I understand it, but I'm for going and getting the record. I'm for going and getting the record. So if Saquon, I know he's not going to play, but I'm all for go get that record.
Did you have we were looking at talking about Mike Evans. Did you ever have a situation where you had a final game and if you did X, it would mean something financially without getting into details, of course?
Probably so. I don't know if it was just one final game, but, you know, I was at the point. You have escalators. And guys know it because your agent lets you know, hey, you're close to 2.5 sacks, or if you get one more sack, it's a bonus for you. This past week, and the Saints didn't have anybody in the Pro Bowl. If you make the Pro Bowl, if you make the All-Pro team, guys have bonuses in those contracts, and so, you know, they're escalators. It may be an escalator in there where you made the Pro Bowl for two consecutive years. Now my base salary for the next year goes up X amount. Or, you know, let's say it's take a rookie. You know, now his average salary will be based off of whatever the transition tag, the franchise tag. And so I know a lot of times we've devalued what the Pro Bowl means, but financially to a lot of guys, it's a lot. It means a lot to them. And so from a escalator standpoint of so many rushing yards or so many catches or so many carries, your agent would let you know, hey, you're getting close to this incentive. So let's have a good new year and a Merry Christmas. And, you know, you're going to go out and not that you weren't playing hard, but you kind of know how many yards you need.
Dickerson did it with 16. OJ did it in 14 games.
Got it.
Right.
Got it. So OJ did it in 14 and 16. And look, the games have changed. You know, it's still football, but how you do football and the yardage and, you know, some different things, it's a little different. But, yeah, I'm for setting particularly a record like that. I'm for going after it because the thought process is always, how about this? And Saquon will tell you. I think this is year, what, 7 for him?
I don't know.
6. I think he said it. No. It's either year 6 or 7 for him.
If we're not playing him, I don't know.
Yeah. But here's something that's interesting. This is the first time that he has won a division crown.
Wow.
Well, he was never a division champ. Think about that. As great as he has been, he's played on some lousy teams.
Yeah.
Or they weren't good enough. And it took him this amount of years and changing teams for him to win his first division championship.
Would you be surprised at any move above head coach? Would be anybody, any front office moves for the Saints?
For the Saints?
Yeah.
Yes and no. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't have a feel. And to be honest, I really hadn't tried to get a feel.
No, I was just. There's a lot of texters.
I want to tell the texter.
There?
Yeah. I want to tell the text people. That's not my job.
Yeah.
That's not your job. And so we don't get into that side.
Never have.
No. Yeah, we don't get into that side. We see, we observe, we talk about. Yes, we have opinions, but I want to put this team, this organization, in the best possible way to win. I want fans and players to enjoy wearing the black and gold. I want fans to feel like that we have, and you do, a distinct advantage every time you come into that dome. And they deserve a better product than what has been put out on the field.
Take a break. Fans and a Pro, come back with you till 6 o'clock. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister back after this here on WWL, AMFM.com, and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, as we wrap up the show tonight with you till 6 o'clock. It's hard to believe that this time yesterday we were wrapping up the Sugar Bowl. Did you watch? I know you had Ole Miss last night against Duke in the Tech Slayer Gator Bowl.
Yeah, in the Gator Bowl.
Watch the Sugar Bowl?
I did watch the Sugar Bowl. I watched as much as I can, and I got some bad news for you too.
North Texas.
Yeah, your bracket is not gonna your pool and your bracket play is not going as you.
But I'm down. Hoped. I'm down nine. Ooh, nine with 12:20 to play. North Texas 14, Texas State 23.
Don't hold out a lot of hope in that that North Texas team coming back. just give me that insight. But yeah, no, it was. Sure. All four. Yeah. No, I was all four of the bye teams that got a bye. All four of them lost.
Yep. But I mean,
think about that.
Oregon surprised me a little bit, but not too much. I mean, Boise State. You know,
did you think that Boise and was it ASU were overmatched, or it just took them a while to get going?
I felt like ASU was overmatched a little bit, although that game.
Well, they came back. I mean, they came back, and
yeah,
so
that game was crazy.
I don't know if the time off hurt them, but I am surprised that you don't have two SEC teams in it, but you do have two Big Ten teams in it. And I don't know where Notre Dame wants to throw themselves. You know, I know they're independent, but they just throw their weight around on conference when it comes to that. Well, we're Notre Dame, you know. We don't need a conference.
Next Thursday and Friday is the Capital One Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl with the Final Four. What did you think of Marcus Freeman's the special teams, you know, field swap? I don't know what to call it. I'm sure they got a better name for it.
It's a hockey swap.
Okay.
It's the hockey swap, as we know, just like a line change.
Yep.
And here's the rule. It is a penalty if the snapper touched the ball.
Did he? I can't remember. I felt like he did.
I do not think he did.
Okay. I will say this.
He can go stand over the ball. It is not a penalty until he touches the ball. I can go stand over it. I can crouch down. But if I don't touch the ball, because you cannot substitute 11 – because that's considered the ball has been put in play. As long as he doesn't touch it, it's considered dead. The play is still dead. So you can substitute all 11. But here's the thing with college, and this is where Kirby didn't take advantage of the rule. You can run three off, run three on. I can run three more off. Run three more
to 11?
Until I get to 11.
Wow.
I don't
buy,
have to.
You're buying some
I'm not buying time. I'm really? Running that play clock out. The play clock.
The play clock's running while you're doing
it? I mean, not the play clock, but the play clock was running, but the, yes, it's the play clock. The play clock is running.
Is it the game clock?
No, it's the game clock. Yeah, no,
I felt like the official did his. He stood there a long time.
He stays there.
Yes.
But he gives you an opportunity to sub. If you sub all 11 off, he still gives you an opportunity for them to line up. But you can run three off, three come onto the field. I can run another three off, three come onto the field. And so it almost puts you in a panic mode. Oh, they subs 11? I got to send all of my 11 go off.
What's he doing? What's going on?
So it's gamesmanship. It's finding a weakness, but it's knowing the rules as well.
Thanks for listening, everyone, to Fans in the Pro. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister. Thanks to Charlie Long, as always, in the booth. It's the Saints and the Buccaneers on Sunday. We will look for you then. Happy New Year, everyone. Stay strong, New Orleans.